This is Navigate with IDE.
Welcome, dear friends, to Navigate with IDE. It's such a pleasure to be here. And, you know, it's the weather is quite, I don't know what to put it, but it's one of those days that you just feel that you could be rather snuggling under the bed. But here I am. In the company of a very, very wonderful person and wonderful people. But let me not forget my manners. Let me start by saying a very wonderful afternoon to you, distinguished listeners of Navigate with ID. Thank you for sparing the time to tune in. And if this is your first time of listening in, I bid you welcome. We've been looking at the subject of succession planning and management. And in the last edition, there was a deliberate and a specific focus on family-owned businesses. And one of the things that I tried to do on Tuesday was to share some thoughts around the core issues that sit within the construct of family-owned businesses not hitting, you know, the peak. And I also threw some question in the air. Do you know of any, or rather, let me rephrase that. Why is it that we do not have so many second and third generation Nigerian, call it indigenous businesses that will be handed from generation to generation? And that came, you know, as a big one. But in the course of the program, a gentleman called in and they also tweeted and said, the good old brand Alabukun is there. And I said, yes, the brand Alabukun is there. Now, the question is, how many of such do we have that are still, you know, within, you can tracefully, you know, say this is the heritage of X, a vision that came from this person as a visioner, and it's been handed down from generation to generation. But then, the essence of this was just to throw some light into what we do and we do not take cognizance of. And I said to you that even when you sit back as siblings and you decide to go into some business partnership, little would you ever look focus at the future of that little seed becoming an oak tree. If you did, there are certain things you start putting into place. But we see it as, let us just make a quick buck. Let us just quickly, you know, survive. And it's all about trading. Let's quickly just do this. Okay, I'm producing this. It's because of COVID. I want to do X, Y, Z. Let me partner with my cousin, a brother and a sister, a brother and a brother, unknown relatives. It is not seen within the construct of sustainability, but is seen as a now entity. And that, to a large extent, gives room for a lot of mediocre work. It gives room for parochialism. You know, things are done haphazardly. They opening the accounts, doing, you know, due process is not followed. And more importantly, the three major issues are identified that typically nail the coffin in such family-owned businesses start from one, employment. How are relatives being employed into the business? Who and what should be done in that regard? The second thing I talked about was about compensation and benefits. The salary structure, is it one that mommy wakes up and says, well, pay my son 2,000 naira, or auntie gets up and says, my niece should earn 20,000, etc., etc. But it should rather be done more professionally and in the nature and manner of that particular industry where guidelines are properly enacted. A, policy around employment. B, the policy around compensation and benefits, but tied to industry guidelines according to where you play. And finally, I talked about one major challenge, which has to do with family versus non-family employees. Typically, you find non-family employees carrying the rough end of the stick. You know, have you ever worked for a family business? I mean, look at the environment, and you'll see some of the multinationals that have this family toga. You'll see a young boy come from nowhere, and he'll just tell you, maybe in his 20s, his dad wants him to come and oversee, just see how things are working here. And he'll straddle the corridors feeling as an original S-O-O. You wonder what S-O-O is. Son of the owner, or D-O-O, daughter of the owner, or you see C-O-O, cousin of the owner. They come in different ways, and they drive the poshest cars, and then these are family employees. That little boy that has come for an internship will earn more than a man who is actually the general manager. And it's in the accounts department also, they are processing both payments. What do you think, and how do you think people would feel? Friends, those that are leading family businesses should always ensure that they bring in qualified persons, because they will always be the stabilizing force. If you tilt it in favor of family versus non-family, the chances are that you may just have to a major wreckage. Well, these were the points we looked at on Tuesday. And I had a brainwave. And the brainwave was, wait, before we go far, because I'm still going to sit in that crevice of succession planning and management. For those of you that are thinking about small, you see yourself as micro business. No, it is micro. Do not despise the seed. Seed. That seed will become an oak tree. There is never a time the seed and the fruit will look alike. And every fruit has a seed in it. And that seed is what propels it to reproduce after its kind. So when you despise your seed, the chances of you getting the fruit, or even an oak tree, a tree, will be far or remote. And so I have a special guest today. And it's my guest is a very special abro of mine. She's Yawo Remi, as I call her. But now I won't. This is family, but this is business. So we are going to treat it as business, not family. As much business. This is family business. But I she's been on this program a couple of times, and I had to bring her up again, especially because of this topic, and particularly because of a lot of you. I have with me, you know, my very, very favorite abro, Mrs. Abiola Lasende, who is a governance professional. I mean, this is what Abiola does for a living. She consults, and she does, and she's seen a lot of this. So I want us to learn a bit from her, and hopefully, you know, if any of you are in dire straits, you can always reach out to her. We must make our nation work. Our duty is to provide solutions. We want to be solution providers so that ultimately we can lift the banner of this great nation and the new Nigeria will emerge. Welcome, Abiola, to Navigate with ID. It's good to have you.
Thank you so much, Mr. ID Enang. I'm really glad. Thank you for having me.
Well. You're always welcome. Any day, anytime. So now you know, in my typical fashion, I'll not give you the gist of it, so you meet it live. Mm-hmm. You've met it live, and then tell us, you know, what is your view on family-owned businesses, and what do you think, given my intro?
The truth is that family-owned businesses, privately owned businesses, and of course, by extension, our SMEs, they are a critical part of our economy. You know, so they don't realize this, probably because of the way they start. Every big business started somewhere as a small business. And, you know, they create jobs.
Absolutely.
They're supposed to bring innovative solutions. And it's almost like you're trying to, you know, climb a mountain. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get to the peak of a mountain and then compete fairly with your peers and those competitors that you meet in the field. But what they probably fail to realize is that for you to succeed as a family-owned business, as an SME, privately owned business, you must have certain structures. I mean, what you have described concerning succession planning, putting the structure around compensation, goes into the bucket we call governance.
Fantastic.
So what usually happens is that the family-owned businesses start from, let me use this word, a craft mindset.
Mm.
So you have a man, a woman, using their craft, their expertise. Mm. Honestly, it could be a barber, it could be a designer, it could be a baker, it could be an event manager. You start with that, your passion, your craft. And then you leave it at that. Research has shown that your craft will never, ever sustain your business. You need to transit from a craft mindset. Craft is C-R-A-F-T, to an enterprise mindset.
Okay.
If you don't do that, you're going to expose that lovely idea, that beautiful business to a lot of risk that the bigger corporations anticipate, plan for, and of course, they mitigate it. Like you're saying, succession planning in most big corporations is a given. In fact, it's a no-brainer because it goes into the root of the HR policies and the things that the company will always look at, review, refresh from time to time. So there is a call on the owners, you know, the founders of SMEs, family business, to move from that craft.
Mm.
You know, you start small, but you want to grow big. So the models, you have to look at it, you have to be intentional. And the truth is that you cannot do everything. Because you may lack that skill set. You may need someone to handhold, to support you in moving from that craft mindset.
And that's not...
to an enterprise mindset.
And I've also observed that, whether I don't know from your experience, especially with us MSMEs or SMEs or entrepreneurs, the tendency is that we start off and we believe that... we can do it. Some believe they can do it alone because, it's my idea, it's my craft. And in the process, they end up, you know, crashing.
Mm-hmm.
They take off so very well, and in a matter of months, you find them, can't find them crashing. Part of the question I always ask is, why do people find it difficult to partner?
Hmm.
Because, you know, there are different modes of partnership. So, but let me allow you, because I really want to learn. I also, bringing you here as a governance professional makes, you know, it kind of presents a good sandwich for me. By the time I'm coming into the other side of the business planning and helping SMEs, this governance piece is so critical. So I'm sitting and listening to you now. I just started a business 2 months ago. I just started a business pre-COVID, post-COVID, and I'm partnering with someone, could be a relative, could be my cousin, whatever. Now, what should be my step one, step two, step three? How do I transit from that craft to enterprise, that mindset? Because a mindset change is huge. Many people really fall into mind traps. There are a lot of mind traps. Nigerians don't know that if we step up the plate with our SMEs, we will grow this economy faster than everybody imagined. But we are all looking to government. Government should employ me.
Unfortunately.
Government, and it's not so much about government, but this transition. So please, your humble servant is waiting to learn.
Thank you so much. You know, the starting point is to see your business as a legal entity, like a legal person. So it's distinct from you. That business has rights, it has assets, it has so many things that you need to separate your thinking from that of that the business is a legal person and should be treated well. It should be nurtured. If that business needs help, reach out to people who are subject matter experts to help you. So if you do not see a business as a legal entity that should stand on its own, then it's going to be all wrapped around you. You're the HR, you're the lawyer, you're the CEO, you're the procurement, you're everything. And
which honestly, is typical.
Honestly, a business that you put all over you, like what we have experienced you know, in this crisis, in this current pandemic, a lot of businesses have failed. They are failing right now because it's all around the owner manager. So the first thing is for you to separate. I mean, it's all about your ego, really. You have to separate that business, treat it like a legal person, So if, for instance, I hire an HR manager, will I be treating that HR manager like the person is my son? Or my, you know, in that sense that you have to treat the business professionally.
Yeah.
And if you realize, because at some point you realize that there's some gaps in your skill set for you to reach out and look for someone to help. So you cannot be the be-all, end-all to any business.
So in this regard, when mm-hmm. you look at it from a family-owned business standpoint, mm-hmm. In order to search for that person, sometimes we don't actually search.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes or gets presented to us. So there's a pressure of auntie, big auntie says, mm-hmm. my son has been at home for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
He has no job. Please now, Abiola, Joe. And then we get a lot of emotional outbursts, emotional thinking, sentiments into it. And so what you find is these little entities that are growing,
mm-hmm.
even if I have set on that legal path, like you've said, but I have pressure
mm-hmm.
from family members to hire their or hire my relatives mm-hmm. to be in that. What does governance play in that regard? How do I get out of it? How do I shake off auntie, uncle, mm-hmm. undue pressure? How do I present the legal card to make them see? Because I'll still go back to the family meeting and they'll tell you, when it was your turn, you didn't help us.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I survive that whole... Because it's the pressure our people are going through. You know, I like the way most of our brothers from the East, you know, who are very... They just work. Typically, it's me and my wife,
mm-hmm.
okay? And the guy, very smart, he has a big store. The front part of it, he would now will be his office.
Yeah.
The warehouse is at the back. And then if he's not there, you find his wife will be there, and it stays on and on, and it brings any brother from the village, you'll have to go through a process.
Yes.
And how do we get the average guy in Alaba, the average guy in Okokomaiko, the average guy in Ibadan, Elele, the average guy in Benin, Oba Market, that has started a craft mm-hmm. and wants to transit, how can this governance be brought to 101? Kind of level that they will see and understand it. So this legal thing we are talking about, what are legal? What is it, my sister? What does it mean?
I mean, introducing SMEs and business owners, you know, the owners, managers, sector to governance is really tough. But what I've discovered is that as a governance professional, number one, you have to offer your support. You have to be a business coach. And you can easily do this by showing a lot of examples of how small businesses started.
Okay.
Put in the structures you are trying to sell to them. When I say sell, that means you're trying to win them over.
Mm.
Like you mentioned due diligence. I mean, and a quick entering point to any business sustainability is, like you said, the HR.
Mm.
If you're able to demonstrate that bringing in people through an external structure, for instance, that will be able to profile anyone well. You have the larger to say, okay, if they're forcing you to take a relative, you're going to have to play to that relative's strength.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to bring in someone who presents a BS in accounting, and then your external HR recruitment firm says, look, this person has been profiled and it will do well in marketing, you cannot afford to be sentimental and then recruit that person, put them in your account. And then because it's going to be predictable for you to know what will happen.
True.
One of the structures that you need to bring in is the external structure that will help you develop what you need for you to do your proper recruitment independently. Otherwise, you can almost predict how far that business will go in a couple of years. So for me, it's about looking out for those who can help you, coach you in the areas where you don't have that expertise. I mean, we can never overemphasize it because the gap is huge. If everyone could be everything to their business, then businesses will not fail. But research has shown that you have to put in the structures, and it is on us.
Well, you know, thinking about it, the government through Bank of Industries,
yes,
they put up a lot of these things. I think here in our climb, there's a lot more focus about saying we've disbursed, you know. And I'm sorry, I'm not being unnecessarily harsh. But the focus is more about ticking boxes. What do I mean? These institutions want to show that they've doled out, we've given out loans to X million and we are providing training interventions. I've seen a couple of them being dozed on television. Mm-hmm. And then you the next thing you have is somebody, they have someone in the class. Ah, that girl spoke very well. Let her be the one that they will interview. And then it makes headline news, channels news, 10 o'clock. You'll find someone saying, the government has helped us. They should continue. Behind that whole frame is it's absolute mediocrity. Very few cases do people actually in those small businesses in growing that are starting from being family owned. I mean, I look at it, a lot of young people are doing loads of stuff, but nobody's holding their hands. And many of them are having to morph through the dark patches, and they are learning, which is good. I mean, you learn on the job.
Yes.
And you grow, but there are certain things they could avert. There are certain errors that could actually stop. There are young people that I've seen who want to start a business, and they go, first of all, they think about rental. I want my office to be in Lekki. Foolish. Mm-hmm. That's foolishness. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about such. Those ones are looking for it's dog in the pony shop.
Exactly.
You know, but I'm looking at the average guy who just has a meager amount that he wants to invest, and how he can actually move from there, you know, to set up the business. Now, I know, by the way, I didn't tell you guys, Abiola is also, she's a lawyer. She has the legal backing and all of that. Even this day, you would realize that people don't want to go into that legal space of venturing across to register a company. As little as it is, maybe you want to talk a little bit about that, because this is ID now. I have a sister called Abiola, and both of us want to, you know, we have this idea, which is our craft, and we want to shift to enterprise. It's very easy to say, go to CAC, but there's more to going to CAC. Are you mentally ready to go through what is required of you?
Yeah.
And what exactly do I need in terms of the type of mindset that I need, that my sister and I, that my cousin and I need to go through the legal process? Because if we have to build a sustainable enterprise, it must be on a legal basis.
Absolutely.
There's so much illegality. Mm-hmm. People want shortcuts, and in the long run, it's never short. In the long run, we have a shortcut mentality. So I just want you to smash some of this foxes that spoil the vine, so that young people, I'm more focused on the young people, because really and truly, the bench of this nation lies in the energy of the youth.
Absolutely.
And the more we can turn it on, turn it up, and get them to move, we will see our economy recover so fast that we will be imagining what happened. Nothing. It's just that the people that once were ignorant became wise.
Absolutely.
So please help me, my professional.
Well, the truth is, again, you know, starting a business and not putting a structure in place, you can almost predict what will happen. So when we continue with this sort of sensitization and awareness that you're creating for this platform, and we have other bodies, you know, organization also investing a little into creating that awareness and helping people to have that mind shift to say, look, it's no longer business as usual. As a matter of fact, it's business unusual now, because a lot of businesses have been tested. Those who don't have any structure, those who have not done what they need to remain sustainable, even from the legal standpoint, like you've said, they're already seeing the repercussion or the consequences of their actions. So another thing that just dawned on me when you were talking is that we cannot start businesses in whatever sector and remain within our corner. We need to be flexible enough to look for those professional associations. The Alaba Boys you were painting, they have their association.
They do, yes.
One of the things that I started recently, it was just an idea that God gave me, is to begin to look at how you can partner with the association, because they listen to these associations.
Yeah, they do.
They listen to them.
They are clusters.
Yes. Mm. And they respect the leadership of such associations, especially those who are credible, who have been able to prove themselves over time. So we are now going to speak to this, the leadership of these associations and their affinity groups for them to allow us, you know, come educate
them,
and help those who have a lot of, you know, pain points, especially flowing out of this current crisis, for them to now begin to see how they can reinvent themselves.
Oh, fantastic.
And then come to that place where you're moving from that craft mindset where you feel that, what you were doing 5 years ago will take you to the next 5 years. No, ma. It's no longer business as usual, you know. So it's important to have all your legal structures. I mean, it goes without saying. Now, the Corporate Affairs Commission has even made things a bit easier. So when you're registering a new company, for instance, ID and Abiola, they give you at the point of you completing the registration, you get a TIN.
Yeah.
So they're working with the Federal Inland Revenue Services. And, you know, the process has really been simplified. This talk about ease of doing business, you see it reflecting in some sectors. You know, I'll give it to that. So anyone who is still thinking of, I'll shortchange the system and all of that, is a waste of time.
Yeah, it will catch up with you down the road. Yeah,
you cannot put something on nothing and expect it to stand. It's not possible.
Well, dear friends, if you're just joining, I have with me Abiola Lasende. She's a governance professional, a lawyer, and company secretary of companies. And she's currently, you know, running this whole governance initiative. And thank you. And, you know, before we take a short break, one of the things that you find running, like we have a crowdfunding platform now, Help Now, is an initiative of a company, a technology company, with the support from Lagos State Government, with MTN Nigeria, Deloitte, E&Y, and BOI, and some other private sector companies. Well, with the support of these partner companies and the Lagos State Government, the most vulnerable Lagosians have been organizing an effort to get help, you know, to them. Now, this is about Help Now. It's about donating and supporting the neediest amongst us. We're going to come back on the other side, because Help Now, one side, when you get the help, what do you do? It's very critical. Well, friends, we'll be right back. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Navigate with ID.
Welcome back, friends. I hope you had that short break and it didn't take you off the saddle. We've been talking about family-owned businesses, and we kind of stepped into the terrain looking at what should be done, and more importantly, going to the nucleus of all the little pockets of businesses you and I do here, in the company of our brothers, sisters, relatives, etc. And I have with me a governance professional, Abiola Lasende, and we've been talking about the importance of structure, the importance of putting some, you know, things in play. And she specially gave a very good intro, saying that we need to transit from just craft to the enterprise mindset, that we need to see our businesses, or you need to see your business, I need to see my business, as a legal distinct entity that has its own rights. And then where we do fail to understand how to go about it, we should engage with the right professionals to show us examples. And then she also shared with us the kind of stuff that is going around now and what they are doing. Being able to partner with some of these associations, you know, umbrella bodies, little pockets of, like I call them, they are clusters of businesses, and then they are under some umbrella association of Keke Napep. No, I just said that as a joke. But association of woodpeckers, association of welders, blah, blah, blah. The list goes on and on. But within this framework, I'd like to call them tribesmen. They are members of different tribes. So this is not talking Igbo, Hausa, Yoruba, no, not in that context. I'm talking about people that have a shared common ideology, interests, and they're in a certain field together. So, Abiola, I am a professional, okay? I'm not into business. I do a 9-to-5. I work for Corporate Shepherds, and I want to start. I have had this idea for a long time, where my brother and I want to start a business. He's actually bringing in the cash. What I'm bringing in is the intellect. Mm-hmm. So how do we go about it? Because most times I don't have money to invest, but my brother or relative has some money to invest. But I know I have the idea. Like you know, you've heard my joke before. You owns the name, I owns the car. You know, when the man went to a restaurant and he drove a car, he blocked some other person and they came to him to ask for the keys. And he said, it said it was a party finder. The man said, no, there's no party finder there. And he said, oh, it's a pathfinder. He said, you owns the name, I owns the car. So that's where I'm coming from. You owns the name, I owns the car. But we have this challenge most times where one person doesn't have the resources. One is cash and the other is intellect. Mm-hmm. And they're from the same stable. How do they work out this legal thing you're talking about? How do they transit to make it an enterprise? Mm-hmm. What does the law allow us to do? And how do two brothers or two sisters, you know, with such varied responsibilities come together to run this business?
You know, they have to employ the services of a governance professional to guide them, because they cannot put up the structure on their own. The first thing is that a governance professional will educate them on what each person has, I mean, what it represents. You have a seed capital, you have the intellectual capacity to run the business. So you will help them, a governance professional will help them to determine what structure the business should take. For instance, it could be a limited liability company, mm-hmm. where both parties will automatically be the subscribers, that's the first director.
Mm-hmm.
And then the shareholding will be determined, which will be discussed and determined on what ratio, who gets what.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could even be a business name registration,
mm-hmm.
where the governance professional, again, will advise them to have what we call a partnership deed.
Partnership deed.
Yes, because the business name registration is quite restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
It won't really give you that
the leeway, yeah,
for you to apportion shares and all those things you'll find in limited liability.
Mm.
But again, it's about handholding with someone who will help you through that process to guide you appropriately and to ensure that your structures are sustainable, they are solid in the long run. But what we see is that people try to, you know, shortchange themselves. I mean, they cut off this process and then...
No, because money's scarce now. I'll just carry money, go give one professional. When I can be the professional. So that is, I am the professional. Yeah. No, Abiola, come to think of it, I'm a professional.
You pay for it in the long run.
But really and truly, friends, these are little things that we take for granted, but they actually hurt us mm-hmm. in the long run. Like I said, you know, it may look so pleasurable in the short run. Shortcuts are always very pleasurable mm-hmm. because you think you're winning, but in the long run, it was not and never worth it. And so what I'm going to do is to allow you spend a lot more time to ask questions, especially those of us that have seeming close to family-owned businesses, something between you and a relative, or you are in a family business and you are struggling with this family versus non-family employees, or you're struggling with these employment issues, or how you benchmark compensation. If these are challenges you're facing, now is the time for you to chime in. And then at the end of the program, one of the things we'll do is to also get Abiola's contact so you can reach her directly as a governance professional. But remember, no, don't say, I'm a regular listener to Uncle Ida's show. There is nothing like that. You have to pay. Oh, Egole, that is how much you pay. In my place, they say, that is, you have to pay. It's one thing that we don't know how to do. Appreciate the intellect, intellectual property, and that people bring to the table. Well, the numbers to call, 0809-191-3913, 0809-222-0913, and 0809-234-5913. That also is a WhatsApp line. So we'll be more than happy to get your messages. If you have specific questions for Fabiola or for myself. But remember, you have to keep it very short, very tight, and straight to the point. Please do not give me, right now I'm not in the best of moods. So don't give me the kind of wieldy, are we trying to figure out, I will drop it. I don't like giving myself headache. But I know that Eve is a very good woman. She will listen to everything and also read everything. Lagos Talks, good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
This is Hamilton calling from Lekki.
Who, sir?
Hamilton.
Hamilton, good afternoon. Yeah. Welcome.
Okay, so the concept of a governance professional is on its own is kind of new.
Mm.
To me, maybe it's been there. So in project management, I don't know you have governance functions. But for, like you said, instead of a small one-man business, two-man business,
yeah,
would it be necessary to infuse a governance professional, especially when Mr. A is bringing $20 million out of the $25 million of the business? Mm. So basically, Mr. A is capital investor. Then what can a governance structure do? Would it say Mr. B will be MD when Mr. A is a cash cow? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when the basics are clear, the owner of the business is here, he's bringing 35% of the capital. How does the governance professional start to say, okay, because this is a man has an MBA from Harvard, Mr. B, please let him become CEO or COO?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Hamilton. I'll just set it off. First and foremost, a GP is as simple as saying that you need a business coach. But this business coach has certain qualities. That person will definitely be a lawyer. That person definitely, in a way, I'm going to leave Abiola to talk about Ixan, arbitration, and all whatnot. They will be able to tell you ab initio, where you are taking the right steps and where you're taking the wrong steps. Many of us think we know, but you know what? There are many blind spots. One of the things that really aches, that's why I'm bringing this out, because the question is, think about it. How many Nigerian businesses are being handed over to the second and third generation that you see? Almost nil. And why is that so? Because we lack the principles. And those principles are things that are blind to us. They are blind, but with a professional like Biola here, Biola, you heard what Hamilton said.
Yes, I did.
He said it's new. Mr. A brought all the money. So it's very, why do I need a Biola?
Honestly, unless you have decided that the business you're establishing has an expiry date, right? You know, the truth is that we do that. You just start a business and unconsciously, if you do not put all those structures and work with the professionals that will help you, you're putting an expiration date on that business.
Yeah.
So unless you've decided that, I'm setting up this business for just 2 years or 3 years or when my first child turns 5, you know, then you would not need anyone to work with you. You can just go ahead. But if you're really determined that I don't want this business to only grow, but I want it to also birth other businesses. I want it to multiply. I want it in Lagos. I want it in London. I want it in Port Harcourt. I want it in Abuja. Then you will need to look for someone, a subject matter expert, who will help you with the HR, who will help you with your accounting, who will help you with your audit, you know, enterprise risk management, and so many other aspects that you probably won't even think about because you are not wired to be able to service all of those functions well.
Yeah, and the other thing I must add also is that, you know, when we kick off, and I'm speaking here to some people that are already in it, and then you want to expand your business, you want people to buy into your business, you go to a VC, for example, and tell a venture capitalist, come and invest in this business, they're going to strip that business. Mm-hmm. The first thing they want to look at is governance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have been, you know, collecting on one hand and chewing with the other hand, they will never allow you handle money. It is clear that this business is chop by chop party. Mm. You understand? So, again, my objective is to open our lenses to a new order, because the new country we want to build must be based on understanding and knowledge. Because what we are doing hitherto cannot work again. You cannot have a multifaceted business. Something you're kicking off as a mere hobby.
Mm.
In your eyes, in your mind, it's just a mere hobby. That thing could just be a potential kernel that can grow into a mighty African, Pan-African entity. But, you know, you don't know. But who's going to tell you? It's someone that has, that can stay from 30,000 feet to say, look at what you're joking with. Do you know, I have a lot of young people that have written to me different times, and they always do this. And when they start, you know, they share with me, and I look at it, I said, do you realize what you're about to step into?
Hmm.
And most of them are privileged to actually, they're so sound technology-wise, but on this other part of the structure, they are not. And so they're just desperate to say, I need an investor. I need an investor.
Hmm.
The investor will give you the cash, but you know what? You'll get his lawyer to make sure he puts in a clause you will never know.
Yeah.
Many of them, it's the same thing that happens to our footballers. For many years, our footballers were being shafted abroad. Why? Because they'll hide. It's the same thing that happens to young corporate executives and even old ones. You get an offer, you're going to sit there, you don't want to show anybody. You know, like we used to do in primary school those days. I don't know. Abiola, did you do it?
Yes,
where you put your left hand,
yes,
and then you cover. No, I don't want him to copy me. When you hide those things, you know what happens? You become food. You become food. Food for, you're just in the food chain. Somebody's going to snap you up. And that's some of the thing, one of the things we must try to avoid. Now, again, I understand the sentiments of someone that is just starting. And yes, all we are asking you is look for someone that will say, take this way, go this way. Now, Abiola, here's where I'm going to talk about fees.
Okay.
Because many times people run away from, I can't afford it. You've not even heard. It's like me now. If you want to hire me, guys, if you want to sponsor this program, make an offer. Like I always say, make an offer. You never can tell. I'm here. If you want to hire me, please make an offer. I'll be more than happy to have that conversation with you. But don't sit there and say, I can't pay Mr. ID. Who told you can't pay me? You know, we can negotiate that I only appear once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that once a week is 30 minutes. And that 30 minutes is what, 1 naira? It's okay. We can walk away with that, and you know you have 2-30 minutes in a week.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, in essence, never walk away from that with that mindset of, I can't afford this person.
Mm.
You can even work out a retainership that is tied to the performance of the business.
Yeah.
So your governance professional will earn as the business grows. But you'll have to, that initial capital is, if I was going to charge you 1,000 naira, I'll say no. Let me start with 200. I will earn the 800. The 800 will come by this time. If you do what I ask you to do, then the 800, I will pace them out. Then you space the payment. And it's, you know what? Most times, you don't even get 800. You get double. Because if you willingly and obediently apply those things that have been said to you, your business will blossom. I have seen it work. You know, literally working for all those major multinationals, because that's how it works. That's how the multinationals make money.
Absolutely.
They sit in there, not that they know all the answers. No, they don't. But the structure. There's something called structuring. That's even it. Loans, banks, go a lot of structuring. Now, coming to this, Abiola, if I were to contact you, you know, as a professional. Now, this is business. This is not family. So, what number would I call? And I know you can't talk about your rates on air. The tax man is listening. But, you know, what does it take, you know, to have someone like you, a governance professional? You know, it's a phone call. Let's start with the phone call. I've been begging you for this number forever.
Yes. So we have an email.
Okay.
We have Ednisal, EDNIESAL, consulting@gmail.com.
And
we have a number, Ednisal. Yeah.
Ednisalconsulting.com.
Yes, @gmail.com.
Even that name, Seth Namoni.
Then our number is 0701 310-5222.
Okay.
This is for SMS only, please.
Oh, SMS and WhatsApp only. Yes, SMS please. Only?
SMS and WhatsApp
only. Only. Okay. 0701-310-5222. Okay, that's fine. Ednisalconsulting.com. You know what, friends? Let me tell you what we're trying to achieve here, and I'm being honest with you. I want in the next 3 years, starting from now, that those of you that would have doggedly been listening to this program will have tangible testimonies to show because you were obedient and you followed through. There is nothing like obedience. There's nothing like following through. When you follow through, you can be sure. Yes, there'll be little hiccups here and there. Like I say, life is about hills and valleys. But a man that has direction never misses the way. And today, the reason why our economy is not kicking in is because we have not ignited the full potential of our, not just our prowess as very smart people, not just the energy of our youth, but more importantly, being able to channel it in the right space, but accepting that we don't know and going forward to do the right thing. The day we start doing just the right thing, what is wrong will leave us alone.
True.
I'm telling you, when we start doing the right thing, what is wrong will leave us alone. It's a matter of time that the majority that seems to be right will become the minority in the long run. It's just a matter of time. And time is a record of events. Mm-hmm. Many of you are sitting and you're listening to me. By the time I'm coming back on Tuesday, I'll continue on this succession planning and management. But I need you to see this as a wake-up call for you. And I want you to see it as an opportunity that you can turn around and make the very best of every situation you have. Yes, Auntie Eve.
Okay, so we have a WhatsApp message here. He says, my name is Babatunde, a teacher, Uncle ID. You are really an epitome of knowledge. You are a blessing to this generation and unborn generation. I have learned a lot from your program, especially today, bringing Abiola Lashayinde to enlighten us more on subject matter in another dimension, on governance, on family business matter. My Tuesday and Thursday is incomplete without listening to your program, and today is also really a blessing. My opinion, this is the third time mentioning this during our time. You'll be the president of this country. Your thought is really an outstanding. You're a blessing, Uncle Ide. This is a matter of time. You'll become the president. I believe the youth will support your ambition. Once again, for me to employ my family members, it is dicey. If you're not competent or having skill or something to bring to the table, and lastly, qualifications, I will never employ you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the very warm sentiments, and I appreciate you too. Thank you for listening. It takes a lot to be able to dial in and to be strict about it. And we'll take a few WhatsApp messages and then...
See, we have a tweet here too. This is coming from Namdi Chochil. It says, at Uncle ID, one of the major challenges in family businesses is ideological differences.
Mm-hmm.
My dad doesn't believe in digital online advertising and believes we should remain with the traditional methods. Mm. He says social media marketing is lazy man's marketing.
Listen, friends. That's exactly how you will be in the next 3 decades. You will be exactly like your father. Because when your children are telling you this is the way to go faster, have you thought about how transportation started? Do you know that moving from here to Calabar once upon a time took a week or two? But today you get there fiam because there's a plane. You get there fiam because there's a car that would make it in 6 hours. I want you to understand that when you have, yes, ideological differences will be there. Because culturally, your father was not born in the times of technology. He was born out of technology. There's something we call BBC, born before computer. My father is a BBC, you know. And you then realize that he's not going to know how to operate a computer right now. But there are fathers, my father is 85, there are some fathers at 85 who chose one chosen, that age is not, it's just a number, and they're operating it, but majority are not going to touch it. But if you go outside of our clime, you find 85-year-old men sitting all around, and it's again cultural, and it's just the lens. So be patient. Your duty is to try to convince him by showing him what it can do. And there are different ways you can skin a cat. You need to step back and say, what's the best way to present this to Papa? Because Papa will accept it when he sees. You know, their own is like Zebrediah will say, see, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm, it is see, I believe. That's according to Chief Zebrediah, Okori Gwengwongwale, as 4:30. But he's not going to sit down and tell you social media, how is he going to sell this thing for me? My friend, Apom. But you have to make him understand. It's very easy. All right?
Okay, and this says, Mr. Giwa says, a man that has direction never misses the way. I guess it's just quoting what very she true. Said.
Well, thank you, Eve. Abiola.
Thank you.
Parting shot, and I'll have you back here shortly, but just your parting shot so that we'll take one more commercial break and we call it a day.
Thank you so much, Nigerians, for listening to us today. Please remember, you can indeed start small but grow very, very big only if you choose to have a mindset shift. So please look out for those who can support you in this journey. Look at it like it's a long way. Your business doesn't have to expire. It doesn't have to die. So please look for the professionals that can help you. We're here to support, and we love doing that very, very passionately. See you next time.
Thank you very much. And then, friends, don't forget to help. Render a helping hand to another Lagosian, to another Nigerian. No Lagosian should go hungry or homeless in this period. Join Help Now and any Nigerian for every Nigerian. Join MTN and the plethora of private sector companies that are making this happen. What you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. On that note, thank you so much. Be back on Tuesday by God's grace. Signing out. Thank you. Thank you, Abiola, for coming.
Thank you so much for having
me. Thank you. Thank you, Eve.